back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 304, as this week we bring you the first hour of WCW Bash at the Beach 1996. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil, joined by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, Jim Valley. Jim, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine and return to the summer of 1996, where the people may know who we are, but they don't know why we're here?
This is a very exciting time in wrestling. Like, overnight, suddenly people were interested in wrestling again. This was a cool time.
Yeah, all it took was two promotions fighting against each other and mocking each other on national TV every week. So this is exciting. This obviously won the poll, 48% of the vote. I'm not shocked, but I'm kind of amazed we hadn't done this before now. And this is going to be a pretty good way to kill our first Sunday of June. And happy 3-day weekend, everybody listening at home. All right. Also, if you haven't been there yet, our Patreon is doing well over at patreon.com/waybackplayback. And yes, update from last week, Jim. Last week we were the 670th most listened to podcast in the nation of India. This week we're all the way up to 531st. I am not making this up.
That's awesome. Thank you, India.
Thank you, India. Yes. So,
like Alanis Morissette said, thank you, India.
I know.
That's the Alanis Morissette song.
I'd love something about the sweet taste of India, Aerosmith, something like that. But anyway, we are here. We are talking about Sunday, July 7th, 1996, WCW Bash of the Beach from the Ocean Center in Daytona Beach, Florida, where they ended up with a sellout crowd of 8,300, 6,400 paid, 1,900 comps, and amazingly, Jim, 2,000 fans turned away at the door from walk-up. So that's something that WCW really didn't have in this era.
You mean fans? Yes.
Yeah, I know. The previous WCW show had been Nitro on July 1st from Washington, D.C., with 7,000 attending, 4,000 paid. On that incredible card, it was the WCW champion, The Giant, Paul White, defeating John Tenta. And in the main event, it was the Four Horsemen, all four of them, defeating the team of the Rock and Roll Express, Desperado, Joe Gomez, and Renegade in an eight-man tag. The hook was that Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, the Outsiders, had bought ringside seats, and they were seated at ringside for the last half of the show. And then Nitro beat Raw 3.3 to 2.6, the third week in a row that Nitro had beaten Raw. So only 80 more weeks to go. That's quite impressive. Let's see here. The WWF on a Sunday night, they were in opposition. They were running Providence, Rhode Island. Owen Hart and Davey Boy Smith no-showed or couldn't make it for some reason, but don't worry, suitable substitutions were found in the form of Salvatore Sincere and Justin Hawk Bradshaw, so everybody got to be entertained. In the main matches, it was The Undertaker defeating Mankind by count-out after knocking him out with a chair shot outside the ring. And in the main event, the WWF champion Shawn Michaels defeated the man they call Vader. This is pretty much WWF is putting out they have one house show tour. They're putting out their best stuff every night of the week at this point. That's what they had. The USWA had run Memphis on Monday night, July 1st, and they drew a whopping 1,300 people to see the team of Jerry Lawler and Bill Dundee capture the USWA tag team titles from the team of Bart Sawyer and Flex Cavana, Jim.
Oh, yes, I know it well.
Yes, Flex Cavana, better known to some of you as The Rock. This was him cutting his teeth at the suggestion
Bart Sawyer, very nice.
Of WWF. Of course, that was not the main event. The main event was Brian Christopher and Doug Gilbert losing to the team of Jeff Jarrett and Goldust. Hard to believe that didn't draw better. ECW had their weekend show in Salisbury Beach, Massachusetts, canceled. Their previous show, June 30th in Deer Park, New York, in front of 400 people, the ECW Tag Team Champions, the Eliminators, defeated the team of Chris Jericho and Mikey Whipwreck. And in the main event, ECW World Champion Raven pinned Tommy Dreamer for the umpteenth straight time after Bubba Ray and Devon interfered against each other and somehow cost Dreamer the match. So, and now, I don't know if you remember this, Jim, but perhaps the most interesting part of the show, it was on Saturday night, June the 30th, in Deer Park, New York, which I think is Long Island. Does that sound right?
Sure.
Somewhere around there. Meanwhile, at the Paramount Theater, WCW was doing a show at the Paramount Theater at Madison Square Garden, and there were a lot of people making fun of Conan during his match and chanting ECW at him and telling him he sucked. And Conan took the microphone and asked, in using some words we're not allowed to use on this show, if you're such big fans of ECW, why didn't you go to their show, which is over in Long Island? Why are you here? Which I always thought was a very good point.
Conan, keeping it real, baby.
Yeah. As many of you might have heard, we have started a Patreon for our little podcast. It is over on patreon.com/waybackplayback. And those of you who join up for a small fee, for as low as $4.50 a month, can get access to our archives, which right now feature a couple of hundred episodes in there. You can also get every week, our episode will be uploaded beforehand on our Patreon, and it will be uploaded without advertisements, much like this very one. And I know many of you like that. And we're going to try to keep adding more stuff to it in the coming weeks. We want to thank Jason and Michael for being among the first, and Paul for being among the first to sign up and being early adapters. Jim?
And not only that, you'll get exclusive content like tasteful nudity, because here at OnlyFans, wait, what? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. This is not OnlyFans. This is Patreon. Okay.
Right.
Completely different. Sorry.
Right. That's okay.
Sorry, misunderstood.
All right, we'll restart it.
No
genitals whatsoever.
Never mind. Anyway, we're here on Patreon, and we're doing that, and it's just more of the stuff that you know and love and tell.
Yes, so we've been adding bonus material, like we added our first bonus match last week, and people seem to enjoy it. We've also added this past week, people will finally get to listen to, from Out of the Vault, the 1998 Survivor Series episodes that we did, Jim, chronicling that massive event. Plus, up for the first time, I believe, is the Halloween Havoc 1991, featuring the Chamber of Horrors.
And we did Halloween Havoc 1991.
Yes, we did.
I'm just curious. That was the Chamber of Horrors, right?
Yes, it was.
I'm just checking on that.
And you can relive it, Jim.
You know what we should also do is we should also let the Patreons choose bonus matches that we should watch exclusively for them, get their feedback, and give them the content that they want. And just let them go right to the front of the line as far as what bonus matches on YouTube or the network. We'll just pop those in and do this.
Okay. It's all here for you. It's at patreon.com/waybackplayback. Expect everything. We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuepique.com. All right, before we get to our feature, it is bonus match time, Jim, which I know is one of Jim's favorite times. You know, July 7th, 1996, the Bash at the Beach. I would have loved to bring you either the pregame show or the WCW Saturday Night before that. Don't have that, folks, on the YouTube. But what we do have is WCW Pro Wrestling from TBS. It was the show that was on Saturday mornings back then. And if you will all type in WCW Pro Wrestling July 1996, after you get all that in, you will end up at Al Balog's account. And all you Al Balogers can head on over to 20 minutes and 4 seconds. And I think this will be an appropriate preview of what's to come here. So once you get there, you'll see the WCW Pro Wrestling sign on the wall. Jim, are you with me?
I'm with you.
Okay, here we go. 20 minutes and 4 seconds. Some fine stuff they were taping down at the Disney MGM Studios, and some other stuff, too. Let's all hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Yes, the morning before the biggest pay-per-view in WCW history, you have Chris Cruz and Dusty, and I want to say Larry Zbyszko on this. Chris Cruz and Larry Zbyszko. Yes, and we have Mr. JL making his way to the ring.
That's is this it. WCW Pro, or are we watching Melrose Place?
Nope, Mr. JL.
Okay, look at that.
Those are some colors, aren't they?
Did we ever find out who he is? It's so mysterious.
I know. It's WCW rules, folks. But we're going to get some high-quality cruiserweight action because Mr. JL is facing the WCW Cruiserweight Champion, Jim. The man of a thousand holds, Dean Malenka.
Well, this should be a great match.
Yes, slightly different eras, but both future WWF light heavyweight champions, although I'm pretty sure they'd rather be known for anything else. And Malenka, 1996, Dean Malenka, so cool.
I really like the press-on beard. That's nice. Miami Vice beard.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, so, yeah, Cruz and Zbyszko are talking about how the outsiders are gutless jerks. That will continue. Oh, yeah, this is a title offense, according to Cruz. And I'm pretty sure that the next week, by next week's pro, Cruz will be replaced by Stagger Lee Marshall. So this is a very historic event here. Okay.
What should we call him? Let's see. Should we call him Jay Lynn? No, that's too obvious.
That's too silly.
Call him Jerry L. No.
No.
I just go with Mr. JL.
Yes. They went all out on this one. And I kind of like that's kind of an interesting crowd setup there at Disney MGM. Yeah. Okay.
Does it looks like they're at what you call it? They have the jousting and everything in these.
Oh yeah. The Excalibur in Vegas, medieval times.
Medieval times. It looks like medieval times.
Yep. Hey, I mean, once things get going, you combine medieval times and pro wrestling ring, I think you're set.
Dude, I've done the Dolly Parton Dixie Stampede, which I believe now is just called the Stampede.
Yeah.
it is. By the way, the former owner of TNA, her name is now just Carter.
Right.
I've also done, we did the Pirate dinner show one time.
Oh wow!
In Orlando, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Where you can choose which pirate you're rooting for, and they give you like a piece of ribbon to wear around your head.
Oh.
And they have wine, and I go, oh, I'll just have like some red. They go, well, if you want it to be free, it's got to be the pink.
Ah.
The white's in ready for the pirate ride for the pirate dinner.
Okay, so you were rooting for Keira Knightley. Okay, gotcha.
I was.
Yes. All right.
And soon I'll be rooting for Margot Robbie, apparently, because she's in the new pirate.
Yeah. Okay. That will be that'll be something. All right. So yes. The winner of this match, Jim, will be defending the cruiserweight title at Bash at the Beach the next night against the number one contender. You know him, you love him, the Disco Inferno.
Well, so basically, there's no benefit to winning this match.
I guess you get the cruiserweight title, but yeah.
That beard is really distracting.
Probably. Well, I mean, this is probably where Hogan got the idea, though.
Yeah. Could be.
Yeah.
Right. Dean Malenka did it first.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's see. We just powerbombed the guy over the, on, you know, neck first on the top rope. Let's grab a headlock. Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, my goodness. Yep. You know, you could, I mean, some enterprising indie wrestler, once we get things started back up in a couple of years, you know, probably could wear that gimmick and be, I don't know, Mr. XD or, you know, pick a couple letters. Yeah.
Right.
No. Okay.
Well, they can't wear it at Chikara.
No.
Where they're going to wear it, but we'll come up with something.
Well, yeah. Well, nobody's going to, well, I don't think anybody's going to be at Chikara, but, yeah.
Right. Yep. This is peak Dean Malenko, though. I mean, because he was, 1997, he was number one, wasn't he, for the PWI
500? Yeah.
Yeah. I love Dean Malenko in this era.
Oh, yeah. So this is, this is shortly after he won the Cruiserweight title from Otani. Yeah. Right. Okay. And they're going over, they're running down the lineup for Bash at the Beach. As you'll see over the next few weeks, some real zingers in this. Yeah. Big Show. Okay. Ah. Okay. Yeah, obviously no submission, no tap outs. We're not quite at that point yet.
Well, that's what's funny, because we're going to watch, when we get to Bash at the Beach, the first match is Rey and Psychosis.
Oh, yeah.
And the commentary with Mike Tenay explaining everything, because we're so early in, having Lucha Libre consistently on a major U.S. platform.
Right.
To hear him explain like a Hurricane Rana and explain the significance of the masks and stuff. It sounds so derivative now, but it's like back then, it's like he's introducing it all to a brand new audience. It's very exciting.
Yeah, he was. And it got over, which is the really great part. And somehow they got it over without switching the color of the ropes before the cruiserweight matches. So
weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. Okay. Larry's very enthusiastic.
Did JL do this gimmick in TNA? Or was he always just Jerry Lynn?
No, he was Jerry Lynn. No. I mean... Nope.
Is Mr. JL, is that property of WCW, thus WWE?
I suppose it could be. Yeah.
A trademark? Yeah. I mean, that's very strong of a trademark, but...
Yeah.
They're on the turntable. This is the turntable era.
Oh, yes. The turntable ring.
Cinderella wrestled one time.
Nope. This is, it's a different look, but WCW's defense, hey, we have a crowd of people who are enthusiastic and happy to be on television and happy to be out of the ridiculous humidity and, at Disney MGM for an hour. So, yeah. Up, JL, he's on the apron. And the apron, of course, is the hardest part of the ring, Jim, so... Oh, wow. Oh, my.
This Star Wars land at MGM Studios is weird.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Oh. Okay. Up, JL. Oh, they could have called him Boba JL.
They could have, yeah. Django JL.
Yeah.
Maybe the J is for Django.
Oh, that's it. Two. Top rope dropkick. No! Yeah, if you're not going to pin him with the dropkick off the top rope, I don't see how you're going to accomplish much of anything. Oh, the dreaded roll-up.
It's probably the best match these people saw the whole time they're there.
Let me see here. Okay. Well, before this we had Mike Winter and Mark Starr against Barbarian Haku. Nothing against Barbarian Haku. We also had Chip Minton taking on Nakanishi. So yeah,
oh, wow.
I think that's a safe bet. Up, oh, here we go. The heel hook. That's it. Dean Malenko.
Here we go. Thanks to referee Tony Falk.
Yes. Fantastic work there by driver Tony there. The Iceman, Dean Malenko. The main event of this show, by the way, would be the Giant defending the WCW title against Jim Duggan,
if I'm a casual fan, that's probably like a big match for some people.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, my God. I'm going to hit collect.
Save a buck or two.
When you have to reach your bail bondsman, 1-800-COLLECT.
That's right. And by Chico's Bail Bonds. Okay. All right. Well, that was before. This is pre-track phone, so you know what time it was. All right. Wow. High-tech graphics, folks. WCW Pro Wrestling. Okay. Yep. Oh, wait, hold on a moment. Mean Gene's got the hotline ready to go, Jim. Yep. Yes. Don't forget, you can watch the pay-per-view, or you can listen to it on the hotline for a few $100 more.
Jeez. Yes. But you think college loans are big. God, if you listen to that whole pay-per-view?
Yeah, plus, I wouldn't want to be into WCW for several $100 worth of 900 number money.
No.
You think the government's collection agents are bad?
God, look at Gene Okerlund there. Look how he looked young. Is that him?
Young, yes, yeah.
Are you sure? Mm-hmm. Is that actually him?
Yes.
Is that CGI?
A $1.49 a minute. All right, that's it. There we go. Okay, that's enough. All right. All right, yeah, thank you, everybody. So, yeah, it's a very crazy time for pro wrestling. You've got the big story is it's the third man tonight. It's going to be the WCW team of Sting, Lex Luger, and Randy Savage against the Outsiders, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, and the mystery partner. Everybody thinks they know that the mystery partner. Everybody's heard that WCW wants this guy, Hulk Hogan, to come back as the third man, but nobody knows for sure if he's going to do it. And just to add intrigue to it, Jim, another well-known wrestler, the Ultimate Warrior, Jim Hellwig, has just been suspended from WWF for no-showing shows and generally being the Ultimate Warrior. So who knows what could happen. But I do remember a lot of speculation going on over who the third man could be, if it wasn't going to be Hogan. Do you remember that as well?
Of course, but I think by and large everyone expected that it would be Hogan by now.
Okay. So before the show we had WCW Main Event, which was the 1 hour pregame show, and none of that is available on YouTube. But the dark match, Jim Powers taking on Hugh Morris, and boy, it's a shocker we don't have that in Hidden Gem somewhere. On WCW Main Event, the tag team titles on the line as Harlem Heat lost to the Steiner Brothers by disqualification when Sensational Sherry returned and interfered for the disqualification. Sherry had been fired a few months earlier by WCW, but she's back, and she's back with Harlem Heat. Bobby Walker defeated Billy Kidman. It was the Rock and Roll Express of Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson, defeating the team of Fire and Ice when Ricky Morton pinned Scott Norton. And in the main event of main event, Eddie Guerrero defeated Steven Regal. And by way of intrigue, Eric Bischoff, who was supposed to be announcing the main event show and had been powerbombed off the stage the previous month by Kevin Nash, was missing during the main event. And this and an angle that ultimately went absolutely nowhere. So, Jim, if you're ready, we're at 0 minutes and zero seconds.
Speaking of nowhere, yes.
Yes. And I've got a shark fin on the screen, as one does.
Yes.
Okay. So, if you're ready, folks, we are all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. And there we are. Yes. Bash at the Beach with the Hostile Takeover with the knockoff version of the song Crazy by Seal, which you'd be hearing throughout this. Recapping everything that led us up to this moment. But it's a Hostile Takeover.
It's very exciting. I mean, I love the Great American Bash pay-per-view the month before. It's still one of my favorites. And this was a big deal. I mean, WCW was on fire here when WWE as Teal Hopper and the Goon. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, very realistic, and it's building up, you know, 20 years of what happens when WCW and WWE finally meet. Now, this is a very exciting summer.
Okay, and yep, full house at the Ocean Center. Lots of pyro. When Nitro came on the air, WCW's production values went up spectacularly, I'm going to say. And, yep. Oh, look at that. And look at that. And the crowd. No, the crowd's still pretty much the same. But, Tony Schiavone, Dusty Rhodes, and Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Security's a nice touch.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. All right, so, yeah. Tony and the Tux, Bobby and, I don't know.
Resort wear?
Yep. Right, yeah, Daytona Beach. Yep. Everybody's up and excited, according to Bobby Heenan. And, Bobby Heenan becoming a loyal WCW company guy was, it was a twist, but it was, I think, a necessary one at this time.
Well, yeah, you've got to have somebody speak for the fans. And, you know, given what would happen later on, Bobby's got an intricate knowledge of Hulk Hogan. Bobby's got an intricate knowledge of everything he's done, and he's speaking his truth.
Yes,
Tony put his hand there, but okay.
I don't know. Dusty thinks they might be holding Eric Bischoff hostage somewhere.
Is he wearing Dockers? What color pants is Tony wearing? What is?
I
Tony
don't know.
Borrow that from people. That jacket looks huge, even for Tony Schiavone.
Hmm. All right, and it's time for the opening match, which is it's kind of a big deal. Remember a few weeks ago when we did the Rey Mysterio psychosis match at ECW One Night Stand?
And we've done this two shows in a row now.
Yes, this is the match that this is going to be the match the ECW people were hoping they'd get. And this is the debut of Psychosis, I believe, in WCW.
Yeah, in WCW.
Right. And Mike Tenay is dropping in because he's the one who's actually going to be able to call this match.
Yeah. And it is fascinating to hear Mike Tenay talk about the masks and talk about he defines the Hurricane Rana, mm-hmm. and just to hear him just lay everything out that we have, you know, come to just accept now in modern professional wrestling. But this is the first time, other than when Worlds Collide, where you've got major Lucha Libre happening on, you know, a North American Anglo platform.
And yeah, people have just gotten into Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because as I point out, his match with Dean Malenko at the Great American Bash.
Okay. Yeah, he's like that guy.
All right. Oh, and there's the giant pole, which and Vince Russo's not even there yet. Let's see. But I like how Rey Mysterio always had some form of the letters WCW on the top of his mask. That little, at least back then. All right, here we go. Rey and Psychosis, and you'd never seen somebody with the look of Psychosis before in WCW or definitely in WWF. Yeah, he's the cruiserweight bully that Mark Madden was waiting for.
I mean, these guys are, you know, in many ways in Mexico, at least at this point, kind of career rivals.
Right.
Certainly one's career went one way, one did not, but in many ways they're career rivals. They know each other very, very well. And it's funny, Mike today's talking about they wrestled last night in Mexico and they flew in tonight to do this show.
Which is something that by the right now in 2020 would be impossible. So there you go.
But I'm just saying, it's just funny. I mean, gee, I wonder which match they made more money for.
All right. Well, at this point, probably the Mexico match. So definitely the Mexico match.
Yeah, they're on pay-per-view. I bet your Ray's doing okay here.
Oh, yeah. All right, so, yeah, the fans are sort of goofing off here. Yeah, they're like, oh, this is cool. Hey.
Yeah, they don't know yet.
They're getting there.
Question, that guy in the front row with the hat on?
Yeah.
Is that a Big Boss Man hat?
It sure looks, you know, from a distance, yeah, I'm going to say yes.
I think it's a Big Boss Man hat.
You don't think it's the Undertaker's Blue Lives Matter hat?
Don't know that it is, but
okay.
I'm pretty sure that's Blue Lives Matter. By the way, for some reason, he's sitting next to Phineas Godwin. And
yeah.
I don't know why.
Well,
so, yeah.
Phineas had the night off, I guess. Yeah. Good to see him
apparently,
there.
WWE, they didn't mind that he was there, so.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, so, Rey Mysterio selling more masks than Batman in Mexico, according to Mike Tenay. Yeah.
I remember at Greg Price, who did some stuff, but anyway, never mind about that. But
yeah.
The point of my story is that there was a vendor there,
ah.
And this was when they had just cooled off the original Mystico, Sin Cara and WWE,
right.
And that guy was like, I was selling a million of these dolls, and then they cooled him off, and now I can't get rid of them. And my point is, it's like, you could merchandise all of this stuff, and they just missed the ball on all of it.
Oh, yeah. They're WCW. What do they need? What do they need merchandise sales for?
Like, I had a really public job one time in a town, and they did a Halloween party. Like, kids would go to all the downtown merchants and get candy and
right.
huge. And it's like, okay, well, I got to dress up for this because of my job.
Right.
I had a Rey Mysterio mask. I put on the Rey Mysterio mask and I built like a makeshift Rey Mysterio outfit. Yeah. Oh my God. Every kid in the freaking town wanted to come and get a picture with him.
Of course.
I'm just like, can you imagine what it's like to be the real Rey Mysterio?
No, I can't.
Or just, no, but I'm just saying, it's like, I was terrible fake Rey Mysterio, that looked vaguely like him.
Yeah.
And all the kids wanted to take my picture, and all the kids wanted the mask and hold the belt and all this stuff. It's like they have missed out on so much money with these guys, Rey and Psychosis and everybody. It's just, it's ridiculous.
I mean, this period of time, you know, the tabloids have pictures of Rey Mysterio out on the town with Jennifer Aniston, like 1990s Friends Jennifer Aniston.
Right, the most popular woman in show business.
Yeah, at the time, yes.
Yeah.
She still is doing okay for herself, I understand.
Not bad, yeah, she's done all right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Rey was over. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, almost immediately he changed people's minds about size.
Right. Well, people who aren't Vince McMahon anyway.
But, right. Yeah. Or in charge of wrestling companies.
Right. Okay. Here we go. Up. I mean, and you know, I mean, people like you and me, we had seen the Psychosis and Rey Mysterio stuff in ECW, but you know, this in front of like an actual audience with, you know, with lighting and yeah. And fans.
Well, I mean,
and,
when Worlds Collide was 2 years earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And this has been building for a while in the United States.
Hey, but now you have Mike Tenay talking about, WCW spent, months scouting the world for the best talent, and, you know, and he starts saying stuff like that, and after a while you can start believing him because these guys are showing up.
Right.
And they were scouting for the best talent in the world. They had no idea what to do with a lot of them once they got them, but they were. The fans are into this.
Yeah, they're starting to pick up on it.
I mean, this isn't like wrestling at the the Chase audience, but they're definitely getting into this.
Yeah, it's like they understand. It's like, okay, Psychosis is the heel. He's the big bully. Ray's the little guy. He's selling. They're drawing people in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do like the giant beach ball back there.
That is pretty nice.
Yeah. Need one of those. Right. Okay. Yeah, we're also starting to see, thanks to the screen, the big screen at ringside, people looking to watch them see themselves on television, which is something that would continue. Okay. Yeah, the amazing part is you go from Mike Tenay's explanations of stuff, and then Dusty Rhodes comes in and is talking about, you know, whatever he's talking about.
Right.
Interesting dynamic.
Dustyisms?
Yes. I think there was like a third of a page of the Torch of Wade transcribing Dusty's commentary during a Conan match on a WCW pay-per-view, and it was just, I'm going to have to get it at some point. It was very impressive. Hey! Holy cow, and he hit his head. Ray hit his head on that.
Sure.
Ouch. Boy, Conrad's very excited about this match.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Brought out his best Harley Davidson shirt.
I know. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Heenan's amazed that they're both back on their feet. And yeah, he's not kidding. Oh! Oh! Yeah, everybody got on their feet for that one.
Yeah, even Phineas. Phineas is on his feet for that
one. Wow. Yep, here we go. Nope.
I mean, look, there's a psychology to this.
Right. Okay.
Who'd guess Ray'd be wrestling today?
I didn't. That was always the concern you'd see in some of my fellow writers, saying, oh my goodness, how's Rey Mysterio gonna last with that style? You know. Plus he's adding all this muscle, there's gonna be muscle tears. Yeah. Yeah. 2020. Here's Rey Mysterio.
Oh, by the way, just a bit of perspective.
Right.
Seth Rollins is 10 years old here.
Okay.
So Rey Mysterio, his future opponent on Raw, is 10 years old.
So at this point, Rey Mysterio is taller than Seth Rollins.
Yes, he is.
Well, that, yeah.
In theory.
Okay, fair enough. And, you know, I mean, the other thing about Rey Mysterio is he had so many different outfits. I mean, right now you have the red, white, and blue Captain America Riddler outfit here. But, you know, he'd have all sorts of superhero outfits and different colors, you know. And, of course, different masks for each outfit. Dozens of them. Because yeah, that's how merchandising works.
This is more the classic Ray, but yeah. But he does have the patriotic colors on for Bash at the Beach. Makes sense.
Right. Yep. Okay. Yep. Ooh! Yeah. Got some good air there on Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, it's like he didn't quite hit his throat, but he did well enough.
Right. Yep. The slop drop in honor of Phineas Godwin, who's at ringside.
Yeah, you got to please the crowd in the front row.
Okay. Right. Okay, woo. All right. So I mean, you got the high flying, but you got a little bit of brawling, some punches, some shots, taking out the knees. It's not just ballet.
I had to look it up for the show because I was like, okay, when did Psychosis become Nitro? And I guess that was like 2008, and I'd forgotten this too, but in Mexico, Psychosis lost his mask to Rey Mysterio Sr.
Ah.
Rey's uncle. Mm-hmm.
Yes. After that move, Mike Tenay is explaining to the wrestling fans that that's something we call a senton. I can believe that.
That's yeah. Right. See, that's what's so funny about this match is the commentary.
Yep. Right. Yep. So, yeah, guy jumps off the top rope, you know, senton onto the floor. No, that's not the finish. I think one of Meltzer's readers called this the first great match of the 21st century, just to give you an idea of how different this was. Yep. Here we go.
When you imagine these guys, you're thinking, oh, they're flipping here, they're flipping there, they're no-selling this, they're no-selling that. Right. There's this weird move there, and this is a solid match.
Yeah, I mean... Geez, I mean, you know, compared to, yeah. I mean, you want to see no selling. Like they're selling very well in comparison to some of the wrestlers from 2020. And, I mean, this totally holds up. Not even a question. Of course, if you're Dominic Mysterio and you're, you know, and if your gimmick is your Rey's adopted son and Eddie's real son, you're going, how the heck am I supposed to live up to this?
You can't.
No, you can't. Yep. Okay. 619. Yep. There we go. Yeah, I like the Rey Mysterio offense from WCW better than modern Ray, as do a lot of people, I think.
Well, yeah, it has more variety.
Of course, what he changed to help preserve his career. So.
Yeah, I mean WWE boils it down to a handful of moves that fans expect that you lead them through, and that's what people want. It's you're playing the hits.
Yep. And that's something that people haven't seen before. I think one of the great clips also is from this era is Dusty trying to pronounce Hurricane Rana. I don't think it's this match, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Dusty managed to milk that sort of thing for all it's worth on commentary.
He's Dusty. He can do that.
Oh, yes. All right. Yeah. Young Brody Lee there at ringside.
Yes, he.
No.
This crowd is getting into this match. They're getting more and more excited.
Yes. Yes, Angry Amish Roadkill over there in the background. He looked very impressed.
But it's like, they're not going too fast for the crowd. The crowd's able to follow everything and pick up on everything, and they're building on everything they do.
Right. This is, I mean, as an introduction to the style, it's yeah, it's outstanding.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Oh, that's more than your basic acai moonsault. Wow.
Okay. But if you see people in the crowd, they're looking at their buddies like, did you see that?
Yeah. There's a lot of that. And the people who are waiting backstage to be in the second match, they're going, okay. And you'll agree with me once you see the second match come out, Jim. Oh!
Word.
Oh. No.
See, the crowd didn't know it was coming, but they just knew some finish was coming, and they knew they got countered.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Still that same move, if you did it in 2020, still get a huge pop.
Oh, yeah. Except on an ECW show.
Well, yeah. Yes. Okay. Oh, here we go. Okay. All right. Oh. Yep.
Yeah. See, now that's a pretty easy way to get into that move.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. So, yeah. So, Psychosis about to do the best version of the Razor's Edge ever, and Ray counters it for the victory.
I believe they call it the Splash Mountain.
Yes. Tanay does call it that.
Is that anything good? All
right. That's something we've never seen before, according to Tony Schiavone. And yeah, if you're WCW fans, you haven't. Right. And Bobby Heenan's pushed and putting this over. Not fooling around.
Sure. They had something in Ray. My God, they had something in Ray.
Yes. All right. Let's see it again.
It's a beautiful move. Right. Nice leap there by Psychosis.
Oh, yeah.
Laid out like he's dead. Right. The crowd loves it. Even Grandma's like, oh, my God. Yes. Grandma in front was like...
Ah. Oh, yeah. This is match of the night, by the way. No offense to anybody else.
Look how happy Grandma is in the front row.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Yeah, Grandma's like, man.
Grandma's forgotten all about Ricky Steamboat's retirement.
Exactly. I've been this happy since. Oh yeah, they're asking.
There's Conan. All right. Yeah. Okay. And yeah. And here's the Mexican champion, you know, speaking, flawless English. So,
you mean the Cuban?
Yes.
But yeah, it's like Gene is expecting some weird name for the booze. Like, yeah, that's just Splash Mountain.
Yeah,
like some.
Right. Yeah. Right. Ric Flair is overconfident, Conan. Well, yeah, and Conan's like, well, yeah, he's overconfident. He's Ric Flair, so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Conan's still in his Mexican stuff, in his Lucha Libre outfits. He's not Odele yet.
No.
He's not in the Dungeon of Doom. Mm-hmm.
No. Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. Conan's determined. Keep it. I like Conan. Keep it simple. Yeah. Keep it direct.
Conan's not an idiot.
Nope. He's really... Yeah. All right, here we go. This is the moment you've been waiting for, Jim. It is the Carson City Silver Dollar match.
Yes.
That's right. There's a... I think there's a sock full of silver dollars on a pole.
Yes.
Yep. Okay, Eric Bischoff is still missing, by the way. But it is... here he is. It's Big Bubba in his motorcycle helmet with his manager, Jimmy Hart.
was not allowed to wear the Big Boss Man hat, which is at ringside.
No. Yes. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Oh, there's all the Boss Man fans.
How tall is that pole?
That is, my God. Vince Russo is the most excited man watching this right now.
Do they have to get approval from the airport?
I know. Up? That's incredible.
Goodness gracious.
It's like it's the Space Needle of poles.
It's huge.
Yeah. Although that's quite an image there with a sock full of silver dollars. And here he is, John Tenta.
Yes.
With half his head shaved.
Yes, because he got half his head shaved and he decided he was so mad about it, he left it that way.
That's right. There we go. Yes. Two legends. I mean, they feuded in WWF. They're feuding in WCW.
I mean, no disrespect to both these guys, but nobody cares.
Well, yeah, I mean, we got that great match, and now we're going to have a couple gimmick matches a few gimmick matches in a row now that I think about it.
But nothing says better than having these two guys. I don't want to spoil it, but which one of those guys is going to climb that tall, thin pole?
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it either, but yeah. Yep, that's quite the question.
How many dancers you could fit on that thing?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Yeah, 2-3 easily.
Funny. Sometimes on Reddit, John Tenta's son will post pictures of his dad, and it's very sweet. Like one time he's like, I think for his birthday, they're sitting at like a kitchen table and he's got one of the Pure Disco CDs for his birthday. So John Tenta, big fan of disco.
Well, yeah. Okay. All right. So yeah, John Tenta's the hero who has left the Dungeon of Doom and is fighting for honor and decency and to not get his head shaved anymore, I guess. But yeah, I mean, he's not really the Avalanche anymore because you can see he's losing weight. And, you know, trying to carve out a different identity for himself. Mm. Yeah, that's a big pull. All right. I mean, you would think after a while these guys would be like, okay, let's go ahead and rip the pole off the ring post there.
Well, just there were straps. You've got two guys who are 350, 400 pounds, and it's like, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, Heenan's not helping. He's like, well, that's just taped on there, right? No, this is very secure, Bobby. Yeah.
Less a pole and more of a bendy straw.
Right. Okay. And, yeah, I mean... Yeah, John Tenta's very, you know, very big, very, I mean, sumo background, legitimately a guy you don't want to mess with, but, you know, compared to some of the characters you're seeing in WCW in 96, it's he's kind of a low-key guy. He's kind of a low-key guy.
Well, and look, they both look pretty blown up right here.
Yeah.
I mean, the punches are sloppy. This is not good work.
No.
Pole aside, this is bad work by both these guys.
Well, I mean, you know what they were following. You know, you're not going to see a lot of Hurricane Ranas.
Think about Prime Earthquake, or think about Prime Boss Man. Mm-hmm. Boss Man had snappy punches. He slid out of the ring. He could be explosive at times. These guys, I don't know if they were out like partying last night, mm-hmm. or what, or it's just wear and tear over time. But this is just not good.
No, it's not. Yeah, I mean, well, the match is built around the pole, which neither one of them can climb. So, yeah. I mean, it's not enough thought went into booking this feud, I think. Okay. And I mean, it's Big Bubba. You know, he can't be Boss Man, so he's back to being Big Bubba Rogers. Right. Except they don't want him to look like Big Bubba Rogers anymore, so he's generic guy. He's generic leather pants guy. And in 1996, that's not much.
Well, and Earthquake can't be Earthquake. He can't be Avalanche. He can't be anything that's associated with any sort of you know, natural disaster.
Right. He's not even the shark.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's what he's, yeah, there you go. Good job, John. Let's try and get the, let's get the pole down. Okay. Up.
No. Why does that pole need to be so high? Why did you, why not just leave one section out of it? I don't know.
And somebody thought it'd be funny.
I guess.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, let's make it 30 feet high. Yeah, that'll be funny.
Yeah. I mean, look at this. It's like, they're kind of choking each other, kind of selling this.
Right.
Kind of, I mean, this is just...
Well, rules of the match, you can't, you know, I guess the weapon's allowed. I don't know. You're not going to have a disqualification during a Silver Dollars on a pole match.
This is really sad.
Although, really, I'm kind of wishing there were right now. Okay. All right. And you know, I mean, Dusty obviously loves both these guys, and he's trying to put them over, you know, on commentary. And yeah. Oh, here we go. We're gonna tape him. We're gonna tape him down.
I mean, it's like, I think the fans are both tired of these guys, which happens in show business, which is unfortunate.
Right.
I mean, both guys have got families to feed. They've got friends. Mm-hmm. You know, they're filling out a role and everything, but. I don't know. This is just.
But you know.
It's sad.
But young wrestling fan Pat McNeil is like, okay, well, if it's no disqualification, why doesn't everybody from Jimmy Hart's stable just come down and beat up John Tenta and, you know, and help him grab the sock? Yeah. I guess that made too much sense.
Well, that. Yeah. Three wraps of tape, he's trapped.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, the match is over. Oh, you need to strap them, yeah. Well, really, who needs the sock full of silver dollars when you can just tape the guy to the duck, you know, tape the guy to the ropes and whip him with a belt?
Yeah, why not make it a strap match then? Make it.
Yeah. Well, that would have made sense. So.
You know, this match needs to be long because it's not padding enough, and it's not long.
Okay, so can't breathe. Okay, great. Okay, here we go. Oh, what do we have here? He's got scissors. Oh. So he needs to get the cut the tape off. Oh, he's going to cut the... Oh, he's going to cut the rest of John Tenta's hair.
Oh, okay. Now it's a hair mat. So well, no, got silver dollars, a strap, a hair.
Oh, boy.
And no disqualification.
Right. And he just happened to hand John Tenta the scissors, which he can use to cut himself loose. Well, that was convenient. And now he's going to cut down the pole with a pair of scissors. No, actually, he's not going to do that. Oh, there, yeah, he got one. Yeah, he got one. Well, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. The big drama of the match shouldn't be, okay, how the hell are we going to get this... How the hell are we going to get this pole detached from the ring post so we can get at the weapon? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh! Okay. Well, that could have been the finish, except it's not because of the stipulations. Okay, and here's something we should have thought of earlier. Poor Jimmy Hart's going to have to climb up and get the sock.
There we go. 50-year-old Jimmy Hart has to climb.
The most athletic person in the match. You got it, Jimmy. And Bubba's a big help. Yeah, you got him. I see it.
Having nightmares from gym class.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, goodness. Oh no. Down the pole we go, and... Jimmy's doing a hell of a job here.
Yes.
He always does, though. Whoa. Right in the jaw. Sadly, the sock didn't spill out and reveal the silver dollars, but...
No.
John Tenta wins, and the crowd is so happy it's over, they can't even begin to tell you.
Oh, wait, are we going to get the money?
Oh, the money was in there all along. Wow.
God, there's the most dangerous part of the match right there today.
Oh, and put the coins in his eyes. Very nice.
Someone touching money.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes, and Heenan with the line, he looks like Daddy Warbucks. Thank you. Cultural relevance from Bobby Heenan.
Well, not only that, but it's like, okay, we did the match with the Silver Dollars just for the old cowboy reference.
Right.
That. Is this a Dusty thing? Is that what this is?
I'm guessing Dusty had something to do with it.
All the cowboy iconography and the westerns. And,
I mean, nobody else would care, so.
Right. Okay. Surprised they didn't bring in, what's his face?
Dick Murdoch?
No, Singer.
Oh. Toby Keith? Lee Greenwood?
Much less popular. David Allen Coe.
Oh, okay. David Allen Coe, yeah. Well, no, I thought they were saving him for the Great American Bash. So. Okay. All right, so Tony Schiavone has a lay on.
And he's wearing chinos for some reason. Why has Tony got...
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, why are you wearing Dockers and a... And a
because Lois wasn't there to dress him, that's why.
I guess not.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love me some Tony Schiavone, but that's not a good look.
Nah. And, Heenan looks like an old man waiting in line at Luby's. Yes. So Bobby Heenan has asked people who don't know anything about, he's even asked people who don't know anything about wrestling, and they don't know who the third man is. I know, I'm shocked. Okay. All right, now let's me and Gene Oakland get to the bottom of this, Jim, or not?
Only hope.
All right. Yep. No. Yep. They got the matching face paint.
Yes.
Sting and Luger and Savage.
It's like anytime someone partners with Sting and they put on the paint, they look ridiculous.
Yep. Well, Lex does look ridiculous, but he's, you know. I mean, he's game, obviously. He's, you know. Yeah. Savage doesn't care. Savage just doesn't care. That's fine.
Is Lex Luger like a battle panda?
What is he? That's it. How is that not a gimmick, by the way?
I don't know. It probably is one in Japan.
Battle panda! So he's teaming with Cyber Kong.
I believe he takes on Giant Vader.
Right. Yes. Yes. Yeah, Lex Luger and Sting, well, this promo is this promo's in the bag. Yeah. It was a privilege to be chosen from this team. Now, if you remember though, the gimmick was that the team members were drawn out of like a hopper. So they took the top six wrestlers, threw them in a hat, and they picked three.
So I'm guessing right now everybody's is dissecting Lex Luger's promo here. It's like, what is he saying? Is he going to say something that's going to tip us off that he's the guy?
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a suspect. Yep, Sting's not afraid of the unknown. Well, Sting's probably expecting Ric Flair to turn on him somewhere during this. So.
I'm surprised he hasn't.
Yeah.
It's actually the longest Sting's ever gone with tag team partners.
I know. All right.
I want to turn on Sting right now, just because.
Yep. That hair and the paint, yeah.
Yeah, Jesus, they're about him.
That's right.
Very turn-onable.
Okay. All right. Can't remember a match of this magnitude. Okay, Jane. All right, now we've had the Silver Dollar match. Time for the tape fist match, Jim. A tape fist match for the Lord of the Ring.
Wait, didn't we have tape in the last match?
Yeah, now I know where Bubba got the tape.
Yeah.
All right, so as Diamond Dallas Page is putting up his Battle Bowl ring in a taped fist match here at Bash of the Beach.
This is all the gimmick Diamond Dallas Page. This is when Diamond Dallas Page had everything.
Yes.
The glasses, the cigar,
yeah.
The tape, the ring, the vest.
Yeah. He's all set.
Yeah, he had everything.
That's his gimmick. He's got all the gimmicks.
He does have all the gimmicks.
He's a box of gimmicks, paid Diamond Dallas Page. Dallas Page, yeah. He should literally be carrying the box of gimmicks out with him.
Yeah, he doesn't share the gimmicks with anybody.
Yep. All right, and his opponent, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh, wow.
There we go. The tape is grandmother was the tape fish champion of Ireland, something like that. I think that's the bit, but yeah.
That's right, because Duggan did a thing where he was like, he'd do that tape thing, he'd spin it around his hand like all the time.
Yep. All right. Oh yeah. Okay.
Former United States champion, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
That's right. Pinfall, submission, knockout, whatever, is how Tony Schiavone explains the rules to this match. Okay. Yeah. Yes. As he explains, his grandmother was punchy, his grandfather was punchy. Okay. All right, here we go. Florida's own DDP against the Hacksaw. And, I mean, Duggan's act is, you know, a child of five could figure this one out. Yeah. All right. And Tony points out many of these fans have probably just, you know, probably were there for the NASCAR race earlier this weekend. All right. And really, what could be better than a weekend of NASCAR and Bash at the Beach?
With a Booty Babe sign? Nothing.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea why Dallas Page is picking fights with Van Hammer.
I don't know.
Yeah. Leave Van Hammer alone.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, he's not happy.
No.
Yeah.
DDP doing his Zabisco here.
Oh, yeah.
Yelling at the crowd.
I mean, if you're going to steal from the best. Right. Oh, here we go. Oh, he's got... Oh, he wasn't watching the last match because he's going to tape Duggan to the ring post.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
How? Wait.
Yeah.
Goal here to pin him? You can't pin him there because he's connected to the ropes. He's outside the ring. You can't pin him.
Right.
Do you stomp on him now? What do you know? What's
I
the?
I guess you could, but it'd be a disqualification. Well, there's no disqualification, so.
There we go. Okay, yeah. So now you're stomping him.
So.
You've got like one strand. You can't break that?
I guess not.
Okay.
Yeah. Poor Nick Patrick.
Poor Jim Duggan.
Right. Oh, boy. Boy, DDP's executed his game plan here, according to Dusty. Yep. Oh, my. Okay.
Where's DDP and Dusty go way back?
I don't... Oh, yeah, probably to PWF, I imagine.
Yep.
Helly Gelly, as Dusty says. Oh, here we go. Oh, we're going to rip off Terry Funk, too, because we can.
There you go.
It's not like Terry Funk's going to show up and complain.
Happy 76th birthday, by the way, this past weekend. This past weekend.
There you go. Ah, the Funker.
One of the greatest of all time.
That's true. Okay. And the fans are like, finally some, you know, finally after that last match, we're back in business. Oh, make room. All right. Get out of my way. Oh. Okay. Oh.
Dude, okay. Hacksaw's over.
Oh.
Do you like the lady with the fanny pack?
Yep. No, well... Well, if, I mean, you got a lady with a fanny pack. She's there with one of the wrestlers. I mean, there's, yeah. I mean, I can't. You would think that's the explanation.
You'd think.
Oh.
I have a fanny pack. I have a New Japan fanny pack.
That's true.
the Intercontinental title. It looks like the Intercontinental title, so I had to buy it.
Well, okay. You had a good reason.
Yeah, I'm only human, Pat. I'm only, you know, flesh and blood.
I know.
Couldn't resist that. Couldn't resist that.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, so, yeah, this is the period where Paige had what many people considered an inexplicable winning streak. And won Battle Bowl somehow. Got earned him a title shot against the Giant, which they never gave him. And somebody got their sign confiscated in the front row. Was that the Booty Babe? Did they confiscate the Booty Babe sign? Why would they do that?
I don't want to live in a world where they do that.
No, that's just wrong.
Yeah, it says she's number one.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
I don't know. Oh! Oh, dear. Okay, well.
Are we going to get any more medical tape in this match?
I hope so.
Because we haven't enough matches with the medical tape. They really should change the name of this pay-per-view. It should be Gauze at the Beach.
There you go. Hey. I'm surprised. I'm surprised that's not an indie show here in 2020.
It probably will be.
No.
I will say this: DDP is selling his butt off for Duggan.
Oh God! Well, yeah. That's the part of this I'm enjoying.
I mean, he's bumping all over the place for Duggan.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, if you're not going to bump for Duggan, who are you going to bump for?
Bill Watts calls him Dugan, so maybe it's Axel Dugan.
Oh, that's true. Hey. Okay. All right, so, yeah, wait a minute. So this is a taped fist match, and neither wrestler has a taped fist.
What happened to Dugan? Yeah, Dugan did have fist. What happened to Dugan? Wait.
I don't know.
Wait, what?
I don't know, but Paige beat him with the diamond cutter, so there you go. That's the win. There's the match.
And you can tell Duggan is selling it so well.
Yeah. Oh, somebody threw him a roll of tape. Like some random from the crowd, I guess it's supposed to be.
Yeah, so this was his gimmick. Like he'd spin it around and then...
Boom!
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
Hey! Ho! Okay. So Paige is your winner, folks.
All right.
Congratulations, everybody. All right. Wow. Okay, so, yeah, we do have a couple of promos before we get to the end of this week's show. And, one of those promos, we'd like to congratulate our sponsor for this, Ken and Tex Pet Care of Bangor, Maine, for helping to put together our Bash at the Beach Bash at the Beach show here. Ken and Tex Pet Care, a tradition in Bangor, Maine for the past few years. Ken doing a tremendous job of taking care of your dogs, cats, birds, mice, rabbits, snakes, iguanas, what have you. And meanwhile, Mean Gene Okerlund is here with the WCW Heavyweight Champion, The Giant, and his tag team partner, Kevin Sullivan. Ken of Ken and Tex Pet Care is better built than either of those men, but maybe not Jimmy Hart.
Well, and you know, Ken, he's got all of the licensing and bonding, and also he's medically insured. So it's like if Ken breaks out the medical tape, you know your animal will need it. But chances are your animal will not need it. But if he does, count on that he will use it much better than Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Big Boss Man, and the Earthquake combined. So you're fine in that regard, but chances are you will never need it because Ken has got all of the training for a CPR and everything should anything arise, but that's a very, very long shot that that's going to happen. But if it does, Ken is prepared.
And Ken is an ace photographer, as you can see from the many shots of dogs, cats, and other animals he's taken over at kenandtech.com, kenandtech.com, or Ken and Tech on Instagram, Ken and Tech on Facebook, and he's also on Twitter at Ken and Tech. Be sure to follow Ken on social media, drop him a line, and tell him Wayback Playback sent you. Yes. Yep. All right, here we go. Oh, and by the way, still to come, a big tag team match tonight, Jim. It is going to be the Dungeon of Doom team of the Giant and Kevin Sullivan against the Horsemen Arn Anderson and Chris Benoit, because the Sullivan-Benoit feud will never end.
You got to have that. Yep. God, look at the Giant. Isn't that amazing? He was just on Raw.
Oh, he's fantastic. All right. Lee Marshall is standing by with the Horsemen, I believe. Yep. Okay. Wow, there's... All right. Arn Anderson's dressed for Bash at the Beach. I like that.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. Dad, why is your shirt tucked into your swim trunks?
Well, son, yeah. Yeah. He's Arn Anderson. What were you expecting?
Yeah, you can't mess with that.
Mm-hmm. No. Right. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Is Lee Marshall short?
Yes.
I don't recall Lee Marshall being that short.
Maybe he's dropped down one step so they make Arn look tall.
Yeah, is he on a different step? Or
yeah, that's my guess.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Arn's not upset that Eric Bischoff got powerbombed by the Outsiders, but maybe the Outsiders want to try somebody a little tougher, like the Horsemen.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, what pet store did they shoot this promo at?
I don't know. It's beautiful. Really nice. Yeah. That's really nice. Beautiful stuffed parrot, yeah.
You'd have to go to a really nice Sam's Club to find stuff like this.
Oh my goodness, yes. Some of the finest stuff at Hobby Lobby there in the background.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Okay. Ah. Yeah. 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 Right. Yes, the horsemen are gonna destroy the Dungeon of Doom. And if the Horsemen win, a member of the Horsemen will get a shot at the Giants title the next night on Nitro. So you got that to look forward to.
You'll also get this complete breakfast made with sugar frosted flakes. They're great.
Yes, and this a fabulous 25-volume set of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Okay, and I think this is where we're going to end it for this week. Coming up, they're going to go back to the ring, and the next match is going to start. We're going to stop here at 49 minutes, 38 seconds.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
For over 10 years, Shane Hurricane Helms has been a pioneer in the podcast game, and now the Creative Control Network proudly brings to you the record-breaking, history-making, longest-reigning, most entertaining Cruiserweight champion of all time, Shane Hurricane Helms, and the Highway to Helms podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever your favorite podcast may be, you'll find me, Shane Hurricane Helms. And if you don't know, Google me, biatch!
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track, Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com. When we rejoin you next week, we have a double dog collar match, Jim, between the Public Enemy and the Nasty Boys. That's something to look forward to. And we're also going to have the Cruiserweight title on the line as Dean Malenko takes on the legendary Disco Inferno. And if you'd like to know more about Dean Malenko, Mr. JL, Rey Mysterio, Psychosis, or John Tenta, feel free to visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, wrestlingobserver.com, or if your library is open, you can head down there and check out some books, but for crying out loud, wear a mask. Jim?
Next week, I'm challenging you to listen. Yes, I double dog collar match you to listen to next week. Same playback time. Same playback.
And, Conan versus Ric Flair is next week, just in case you need some added incentive. And, of course, you never need any added incentive to follow us on Twitter. I'm at Real Pat McNeil. He is at Jim Valley. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/WayBackPlaybackPodcast. And feel free to leave us a 5, 6, or 7-star review over on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever your finer podcasts are reviewed. Until we meet again, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.